It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
It's Golf DMV, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. The important website, golfdmvpodcast.com. This is the second time I'm doing this opening.
Yeah.
The first time we rehearsed for maybe 45 seconds or so.
A couple minutes.
Just didn't hit record on the podcast machine. Just started talking and didn't hit record.
That's why we just retake it, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And they would never known if you didn't tell them.
But you know what? We are all about transparency here. You know what I mean? We tell the truth, usually.
Yeah,
and
most of
the time. Most of the time.
So we've got a lot happening. Lots going on the PGA Tour, so we'll talk about that. Also, we've got an email we got to get to that I didn't see and didn't respond to. And so Matthew Kugel, I think we apologize for not getting back. Well, I apologize for not getting back, but we'll talk, and you can thank
me for bringing it to his attention, Matthew.
Yeah, because even to this day, I was like, wait, what? Like we didn't respond back. Like, huh, what? And so yeah, we'll do that. Got an email from Raul who received his hat all the way in California.
All right.
He said he'll promote it, he'll wear it, and
we appreciate you.
Yes, yeah, so why don't you come on the show, do a course review, we'll call you and. He said he's busy until I think he said January.
Wow!
What are these people doing?
Thank you for blowing us off. Like, send that hat back, bro. Yeah. No, we'll have him on whenever he has the time to go on this fine quality radio program. So let's jump into some PGA stuff. Okay. We got the RSM Classic LB. With our PGA update, let's go to our update desk with Lawrence Brooks.
All right, here I am. So the RSM Classic was held somewhere in, was it Georgia, South Carolina? I don't even remember anymore.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the same.
I was on the Dubai joint, so this is all you, my man.
Oh, I got some stuff on that, too.
Okay.
Yeah. But see, so it went to a playoff today. Webb Simpson and Tyler Duncan. And Tyler Duncan won on the second playoff hole. He birdied they played 18 twice.
Right.
So he birdied it on the second on the second playoff hole, and that's his first pro win. He won $1.188 million
on his first win. That's not bad.
Not bad. And he's only been on tour with, I think, 3 years now, something like that.
Good check for
I think I think the number I heard was 60 some odd events he's played in since he's been on tour. So that's about 3 years.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. So the tidbit to this Brendan Todd was seeking his third straight win because he had won the Macoba championship and he won the Bermuda.
Right.
So he was going he was trying for three in a row. And actually he had the lead going into the fourth round, but his putter disappeared on him. I mean, completely disappeared.
Gone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He was struggling on the back nine with his putter. So he didn't win, obviously. But he was seeking to be the third win in a row. The last person to win three in a row is
tournaments in a row?
Three tournaments in a row. Really? Who was the last person to do that? Come on now. This is easy.
Tiger Woods.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, when you said easy, I was going to think maybe Jordan Spieth when he got hot in 2015. But
oh, no, not three in a row. Tiger. And I want to say it was 2006. Year might be wrong, but I know it was Tiger that was the last person to win three in a row.
Can't doubt his greatness.
Yeah, but yeah, Todd, he was just, his putter totally disappeared on today's round. Just a few notes of this tournament. People didn't make the cut. KJ Choi didn't make it. Jason Duffner, who's, we've been saying his name when it comes to missed cuts. I don't know what happened with him. Charles Howell III and Matt Big Pockets Kuchar.
I wonder what he paid his fans after missing a cut. There was a whole series of jokes that came out when this tournament came up because this was in Mexico, right?
That was the one when he stiffed the caddy. Yeah, that was in Mexico.
I wonder what he pays the caddies when he doesn't make the cut.
Yeah,
I mean, because when he wins, he only gives you $5,000.
He shouldn't have no caddy. He should be out there by himself. Carry your own clubs.
Carry your bag, exactly.
Partner.
I don't know if anybody, if you listen to the or watch the RMS Classic today. There was it must be next door to an airport. I mean, it was planes the entire round. It was, you know, planes taking off the whole time. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was constant.
I'm surprised they were able to play with how sensitive they are to clicks.
Exactly.
Come on, guys.
Right, exactly. But a plane taking off doesn't bother you.
right.
So that's the gist of that. It was a pretty good. I don't know. I watched the. I had two TVs going. Well, I had my TV and my phone going because I was actually watching the LPGA and the PGA at the same time because they were actually it was coming down to the wire.
The LPGA, I feel, was on NBC.
It was.
This
it was on. Yeah.
And the PGA was on CBS, right?
The PGA was on the Golf Channel.
Oh,
they flipped it. Yeah, yeah. It was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
LPJ was getting primetime action.
Yeah, well, because and well, oh, we can, and we'll segue that. We'll this will be our segue into the LPGA.
Well, do you want to do Manny Millions first before?
No, why are we talking okay. LPGA now?
Okay,
so we'll come back to we'll come back to whatever
you hard segue. Sticking with it.
I thought I had a good segue.
You did. You did. I ruined it.
You
I ruined
did.
It.
You ruined it for me. Yeah.
The second thing I ruined today on the show. The first thing I ruined was we did a quarter of the first segment. I didn't even record. Now I'm messing your segue. Just go ahead. I'm
right. So the women were on. On NBC today, the LPGA, because they, I'm assuming it was because they had a record, this was their record purse for first place today was $1.5 million.
And that was not even as much.
Record.
That's a record.
Oh, it was close to what?
The Homeboy won. Yeah, 1.18.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good Lord. Yeah. But this was a record for the LPGA.
Right.
Wow. And it came down to, I'm blanking on her name now, the one American, Nadia, what's her name? Corder.
Jessica Corder. What's the other? I think it's Jessica. Nelly or Jessica?
I think it was Jessica.
Okay, I'll look it up.
You can look it up right quick. Yeah. She had. She was a clubhouse leader at. Now I'm missing the numbers. Was it 16 or 17?
16 sounds good.
Yeah.
What's the story? She was the clubhouse leader.
Yeah. She was in the clubhouse leader at 16.
Okay.
And she just missed the putt. I mean, her birdie putt on 18. Another revolution would have went in for a birdie.
Oh, man.
And it stopped just short. Mm. So she was a clubhouse leader. But then Se-Young Kim
came
through and she birdied 18. She had so basically she was tied going up to that hole. She had to birdie to win, basically.
Right.
It was Nelly Corder.
Nelly Corder. Mm-hmm. Okay. She sunk a 30-footer with a left downhill, left to right break. And she had just previous hole, she had just missed a birdie putt of like 6 feet.
Wow.
But she came up to the 18th hole and sunk that birdie putt
to win
the tournament.
Nice.
Clutch.
Yeah, so it was actually kind of thrilling coming down here. Both tournaments were today.
The ladies from Asia, by the way, just killing the LPGA.
Dominating. We need to do something.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Americans, but we're definitely not showing up. Another little tidbit on the LPGA for next year event. They have for 2020, they have 34 events and a record in prize money of $75.1 million for the entire season.
Wow.
But for them, that's a record.
That's a record.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, yeah, let me clean that up from earlier when I say we need to do something about the Asian women winning on tour. I mean, like, Americans need to show up for the tournaments and put more people in play to compete. Yeah. I have no problem with Asian women winning
on tour. No, not at all.
It sounded nefarious. Like, hey, there's a lot of women winning on tour. We need to do something about it. Not at all.
No, we're talking about, the American women.
Just getting them more in the competition.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And grow up. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
All right.
So let's move on to, we'll go to Manny Millions and then do the race to Dubai.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
All right, so Manny Millions from the...
we're going to do whatever you say we want to do. I've screwed up enough stuff on this episode.
So today's Manny Millions is... today's Manny Millions winner is...
Oh, contagious.
Davis Riley.
Davis Riley.
My man.
Is it Riley or like Raleigh?
I think it's Riley. R-I-L-E-Y.
He went to Florida.
No.
I'm going to get one of these right one day.
One day you're writing them guests will be right. Yeah. So he's a he went to the University of Alabama. I'm not sure he graduated
or
not.
Much Florida. Yeah.
Because they said, I'm reading a little bit in his bio, he left school with a semester of eligibility, but they never said whether he graduated or not. So I don't know if he did.
Does anyone ever really graduate from the University of Alabama?
Right.
No. I'm just messing around.
Yeah. Graduated to the NFL.
Highly educated.
Exactly.
School.
Yeah. So Davis is 6 foot, 175 pounds. He's 22 years old. He's from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I actually, unfortunately, know where that is.
The sip.
you have something against Hattiesburg?
I have something against Mississippi. My mother's from Mississippi, so.
You got stories.
Boy, do I.
Oh.
So he went pro in 2019, which is, i.e. this year.
Okay.
But he's interesting. So here's some, we'll play the game now. Gets his career earnings.
I wonder who's going to win this one. And it's a show where I've already messed so much up. I have no shot at this.
Before we get to that part, he did win $14,190 today with his last place win.
Okay.
So to date, he has 0 wins. 0 second places, 0 third places, 1 top 10.
A single top 10.
One top 10. He's played in 18 well, out of 18 events, he's made 13 cuts.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's got 13 cuts, basically, and he's got one top 10. How much has he made his career, i.e. this year?
Plus today's 15 grand. I'll go first.
Don't add in the 15
grand.
Don't
add the 15 grand this year. I don't like that's going to make a difference, my guess. Like, I'm going to get it down to the 1,000. Just one top 10.
One top 10 and 13 cuts.
13 cuts. I'm going to go, man, it's probably close to a million. I'm going to go like 850.
All right.
850,000.
Wow.
Is that low?
No. I don't have a shot now. That
you
was
do.
A
All you have to
reaction.
Do is go a little bit over. Just say a million.
No, did you? Let me. No, that's. No, we're going to do. We can start over.
Oh, did I give a wrong guess?
You are so far.
$2 million?
So far wrong.
I don't know the value of these places.
Apparently not. Yeah. Apparently you
the
completely.
The one top 10 is worth some money. That's some money. And the rest were what?
Depend if you were number 10 or number 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And what tournament it was.
So we know he didn't finish 1, 2, or
3. I'm going to let Claude go first then.
Okay. So he has zero wins, zero second places, zero third places. He has one.
Top 10.
One top 10.
Sit back.
Top 10. And he's made 13. He's played 13 cuts. That's it.
All right. 325,000.
Okay.
That's probably still too high.
Cool. I'm gonna go ahead and say 250 grand. Maybe we're going the wrong way.
Both of y'all, even though you were the one, Vern.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it to you because you're not even close. $83,000. What are y'all doing?
Oh,
okay.
Oh wow. I was counting on the top 10 giving him at least 150,000.
I thought I was giving him like close to a quarter mil.
10. Yeah. You know, I figure another 10. Cuts, even if he finished last place, he got 14 for this one. So you multiply that by 10, that's 240. So I was like, all right, well, all of them weren't going to give him 14.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe 250.
I put too much value on that one top 10.
Exactly. Yeah. And you got to remember who we're talking about. He's a rookie. He just came in. He's not playing in the big tournaments. He's playing in the Bermuda Championship.
RMS Classic.
Stuff like that. Well, right. Either Bermuda, where the winner was only $500,000.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Ooh, okay.
I'm
sorry. Okay, yeah. It killed that one. Boy.
83,000.
So there's really nothing new to say about him because he's a rookie, basically. Nothing. He was a two-time All-American at University of Alabama. He was a two-time junior runner-up, if that means anything. And his social, he likes hunting and hanging out with friends.
Right.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go. He's 22, so he's
still. We've talked about this part of the season before, right? This technical wrapping around season before. I wonder, what would this look like in, like, basketball or another sport where basically all the heavy hitters are, like, semi-checked in?
Right.
Is that where we're going with basketball, like, with the load management? Where I could see, like, eventually in the NBA, like, the first half of the season is just random third stringers.
Right, exactly.
And LeBron shows up.
Right.
It's just weird. Yeah. Because all these names you're naming, I'm like, who are these people?
Because it's kind of a long season, to be honest with
it
you.
It is.
And so it's like, you know,
if you're solid,
I can understand why you know, some of the bigger guys don't want to play.
Yeah, you just
know,
wait.
Stuff, especially when it's not the even holidays. About money for you at that point. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going
to. And those guys are already exempt to play anything, all the other tournaments anyway.
Yeah.
See, these guys are playing to get their status up and can play in the PGA and the Masters.
So now,
and all this
now I would want to be a top 10 pro now just so I could be a jerk. I want to play all these tournaments and keep showing up.
Right.
And just when they see me on the card, just be annoyed. Like, what is he doing here?
Right.
This is our time to shine. Gosh.
Right, exactly. Nuts. Anything else from RSM?
No. We're going to talk about Dubai real quick.
Yeah.
We got time for that?
Yeah, race to
Okay,
to
so
Dubai.
The race to Dubai, I did see some of the highlights of that today. It was cold, so I was in the house today.
Yeah.
So
listen, go to YouTube, search Race for Dubai. Look at there's a video I think it has 13 minutes of Rahm's last round. Uh-huh. Watch it because he was put on the clinic.
Yeah, he did
with
he
that
did.
Putter, bro.
He really did.
Yeah.
So today he won again another exciting finish. Excuse me. And I'm better now. I'm not sick as
He's not wearing the
mask. He ain't got the mask on.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So Rahm did need a birdie on 18 to win.
Yes.
And he knocked that in.
Nice.
He won $5 million today. He $3 million for the win. And $2 million for finishing first in the European tour, whatever. It's like their
is this their finale?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
like the FedEx Cup type thing.
Cool.
Or
so they don't have like a wrapper. Well, no, their season just ends today. This tournament.
Right. Okay. This was the
so
end
$7 million takes home. Okay.
No. Five. The three for the win and two for the for the Europe for finishing number one as a European Tour number one player.
Okay,
that's $2 million, so that equals the five.
Right. Oh, I got you.
Imagine how clutch that's got to feel to know. Okay, I can win this, but I've got to birdie this last hole, and you go out and just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He was on their front nine, man. He was dealing. He made like some really long birdie putts.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Yep. It was interesting. So I did a little bit more research. So they did, it was 47 tournaments in 31 countries, which equals, that's the part of the Race to Dubai. That's their season or however they break that out. So out of the 47 events, Rahm only played in 13 of them.
He must have been kicking butt in the 13 that he played.
Right. Fleetwood finished second. He played in 18 tournaments. Bern Weisberger played in 29, finished third. Shane Lowry, who won the
Open championship,
the quote unquote British. Open,
the Open. That's right.
Yeah, the Open. He played in 15 tournaments. He finished fourth. Matthew Fitzpatrick finished fifth. He had played in 20 events.
Fitz.
And sixth was Rory McIlroy. He played in 13 events.
Wow.
And he finished sixth. So that's the one thing. I want to mention. I don't know how the day when I was doing my research, I came across a picture. I take that back.
Okay.
A small photo gallery of John Rahm's girlfriend.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
Googler.
Okay.
Just Googler.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, Googler.
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 All right.
You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed.
The verb means search.
And a shout out to Rodney. He sent me through Instagram. You know who Holly Saunders is, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen her Instagram page?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we follow her, actually.
We do
she
now.
Used to be,
and we didn't before, but we do now.
Yeah, we
she
do.
Used to be on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, she did.
She hosted that show with, who's the old guy? Not the old guy, but the older gentleman, Martin Hall, called School of Golf.
Girl, right,
And then she went to Fox Sports.
Right, she's on Fox now.
Yeah, she's a model,
some stuff. But now she's, now she's a model.
Well, you won't call it. You won't call what she's doing modeling. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if
she's on Instagram and got her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
Dude, I was, yeah.
Impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, am I? Yes.
Shout out to Holly Saunders.
Well, I mean, honestly, with enough,
editing
operations.
That's true.
Because even between John Rahm and Holly Saunders, there was some, I don't know if there's any work being done.
Right.
But if there was some work done,
kudos to you.
Kudos to the plastic
kudos
surgeon.
Kudos to you.
Yeah. That's fine. All right, so anything else from the Race to Dubai that we want to...
No,
but here's what's interesting. Like, so for that many tournaments to be played on the European Tour of Race to Dubai, and for the big hitters who finished in the top 10 to play in less than half of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they still win. Like, this just shows you how good
the best of the best are.
Because even professionals who are on the European Tour who may play all those and don't have a chance at getting on the PGA Tour,
right,
they can't even finish in the top five or whatever because these guys come and play not even half of the tournaments that you're playing in, and they just wipe the floor.
He's basically doing what I just talked about.
Right.
He's showing up like, oh, you guys are doing something over here? Okay.
Right.
How many I'll just play 10 of them. Yeah, I won.
How about that?
I played 20 of these.
Right. I'm playing all 37 or 41 of these things. Right. I can't ever get in the top 10.
So I looked at the entire list, and there was nobody who played in all of them.
Okay.
So the number 10 player, whose name I'm not going to even try and say other than his first name is Eric. Well, it's not that bad. It's Eric Von Roden or some crap like that.
It has to be some crap. I mean, he's a human. He can't help his last name.
Trashed his parents.
I take back what I said.
Okay.
Eric, he's the 10th place finisher, and he played in 29 events in this particular.
Grinding out the 10th place.
Yeah. I'm looking back again. The third place guy, Bern Weisberger, he played in 29 events as well, but nobody really played
all of them.
Nobody played in all of them.
Right.
But they kind of, the announcers, because I watched it on my British feed,
right?
And they were basically giving Fleetwood and Rahm kudos for actually playing this many tournaments in the European Tour, because most of those guys, I mean, you think about Rahm and Fleetwood, I mean, they're here a lot in the United States playing a PGA tournament. So, I guess to go back and forth across the world to play tournaments is no small feat.
No, did John Rahm lose his cool at all? He's a passionate player. He's always getting
upset. Not that I saw today.
No, he was dialed in. He was dialed in. He didn't have any reason to.
Yeah. Okay.
He was crushing.
Yeah, and his girlfriend, she should really keep him. My goodness.
And he's a big guy, by the way. I mean, John Rahm's a pretty.
Yeah.
He's a big
blockhead. That's what I call blockhead. I mean, he's a big old blockhead dude.
Right. Yeah. Let's jump to this conversation that we started mentioned before about the weather affecting the golf ball. You've got this down as an update as far as humidity and all the other kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I found online this guy, and I'll give him his plug now. His name is John Sherman. He is the owner of Practical Golf. You can find him name on the internet and Twitter and everywhere else, Instagram.
Okay.
But he basically debunked a lot of this stuff. He said the humidity part, it does make a difference, but it's negligible.
Okay.
Basically he said, let me see. According to TrackMan data, a change from 10 to 90% humidity will account for less than a yard difference on a 6-iron.
Oh yeah, wow. Then there's no reason to switch anything.
Exactly. So basically the guys at the starter was blowing smoke up our behinds when he was telling us, oh, you can need club up and all this stuff when we were playing in Florida a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
The biggest difference really is the temperature that will.
I was going to say, so it does. That's a factor.
And cold.
Yes.
Not heat, cold.
Right.
So when it's really cold, obviously your ball doesn't compress.
Less. Right.
It doesn't go as far.
Yeah, because that's true for baseball thing. Too.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So it said the rule of thumb is that about for every 10 degrees, you can expect a change, change about a yard.
Okay.
So, you know, 30 degree, that don't sound much either, though. 30 degrees, then it's 3 yards that we talking about?
No, I think he means a yard off of whatever you're, if the baseline is probably 70 degrees, you start dropping and, you know, you hit
it. Okay, here's what he says. Okay, so temperature changes can have the greatest effect on the ball flight.
Right.
But it might not be as bad as you think. Going from 40 to 100 degrees will decrease a 9-iron. Going from 40 to 100 degrees will increase a 9-iron carry by 8 yards and a driver by 9 yards.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, and I'm not playing that much precision golf, so that wouldn't even really affect much.
Right. Especially not for the driver.
So the article is about, it's about 2 pages, but I'm going to read you the last, his last entry here, which is, I think is the most important thing. He said the biggest culprit is honesty. Most golfers aren't really realistic with their distances. Let's face it. Most of us are overstating how far we hit the ball.
Yeah. I got over that quickly.
I'm quiet over here. I don't overstate a month.
It's like, because the only way I can get better is just to be honest. Like, okay, this 9-iron, like, I can hit it 130. Like, 125, 130, that's
consistent.
It. Like, that's my shot. And so I can be 145 out and take my 9-iron if I want. It's like, but you know, you're not going to get it there.
Right.
So bring out the 8 or do a smooth 7, like whatever it's going to take to get there, do that. You know?
At the end of the day, again, it's objective based. When you're on the green, you're going to immediately forget about that. You hit a 9-iron 130. When I hit it 145, 50 yards left.
Yeah. So it's one little thing he says, one of the most important skills of a smart course manager, being honest with your distances on the course and selecting an appropriate club based on how far you will likely hit the ball, not how far you will hit the ball on your best swing.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
It's a game of misses and averages, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yep. So I am no longer of the belief that going to Florida is going to change how far your ball goes.
Not going to Florida. I am going to look up this John Sherman, though. Mm-hmm. Who is this person?
Vern dives deep into this stuff.
Is he a climatologist? What are his credentials? He's not just some random guy. You said practical golf. I'll check it out.
He wrote another book, too, called 101 Mistakes All Golfers Make.
Okay.
And how to fix them. So that's one of his books. He says he is the author of the best-selling book.
Oh.
101 Mistakes All Golfers Make.
All right. So, I'm not skeptical. What's your handicap, John Sherman?
How far do you hit your driver?
Well, speaking of drivers, the LPGA today, they had TrackMan. Because they were on the main network, they had TrackMan today.
Okay. You can't get that when you're on the side network?
Yeah, I never saw it. I mean, usually they don't see that.
Yeah, that's true. You really don't.
Driver, most of them are like 248. Today,
okay,
just as a number. I thought they'd be hitting them further than that, but today most of the people I saw was hitting them like 248. Curry was 248. I think it had rained wherever they had been playing, so they didn't get very little roll.
Okay,
they get very little roll.
Right,
but yeah, they were about 248. So I'm like,
All right, that pretty much means you on the playing the LPGA tour, right? Remember it's earlier.
Yeah, back to that again.
You see how dismissive he was. I mean, it's only 248, guys.
Right.
I played the brickyard.
I can hit a 248. The problem is I can't hit a 248 straight all the time.
There you go. All right. It's Golf DMV. We had this conversation about indoor golf simulators. LB, you sent this email about Worthington Manor, where they've got this indoor golf simulator, and they say that you could come out and enjoy a free 30-minute test drive.
Right.
But you have to do it before November 30th, and it's, if it's available.
Right. You have to schedule whatever. It.
Yeah, yes. And so you sent that. Are you interested in checking that out? Well, Worthington's kind of far to go to an indoor golf simulator.
Not for my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't what's the Montgomery County course? Is it Norwood? Yeah, is that the one? No,
you just did this last time.
I did this last time. I mentioned Norbeck, but Norbeck's a street.
That's a street.
Yeah. Yeah. Needwood. Because Needwood has. Is that closer to you than Worthington?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. They've got one.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much it costs.
Right.
Yeah, I don't even know how much the Worthington one costs. But they're giving away a 30 minute yeah. test drive,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably worth it.
Yeah. Man, yeah, maybe if you got time to go up there. I might check them out if I get some time this weekend.
Right.
This week, I should say.
Because we were talking about this week. And we're like, it may rain Wednesday. And it's like, well, we can maybe.
Yeah, I do want to try. I mean, I do want to try to sneak out there. Only because with the holiday coming up, my schedule is going to be light these 3 days. Yeah. So I got to, you know, want to get it in.
Take advantage of it while you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to make any promises or say anything that I'm going to do.
Yeah, he didn't say nothing.
It looks as if Tuesday, it looks like Monday could be a day too. Monday, Tuesday could be a day. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. You got work and stuff like that. By the way, shout out to LB, who came through this morning and was helping out with meals to the homeless. Down at Franklin Square Park in D.C. Because the cool thing about golf is that there's a lot of charities surrounding golf. That's not even golf related. But, I mean, you know, you can talk about charity work because we're in that season where people like to give. The season of giving, right? Mm-hmm. And in golf, there's plenty of tournaments that that benefit lots of charities. And so that's going on right now. Maybe somebody else is doing some charity stuff right now as you're listening to the podcast. You got some stuff coming up this holiday season. Meant something to me. Now, LB, by the way, this wasn't like the only time you've done this. Like, LB does this a lot, you know, when it comes to helping out the homeless community here in D.C. So
right.
Thanks for your help on those efforts and beyond.
No, you're welcome. And a lot of this goes to my wife. That's her... she likes putting those bags together for the homeless and buying that stuff. I just deliver it.
Right.
Always good to give to less fortunate, though.
Yeah. Right?
Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to everybody on the IG page that, you know, gave me a birthday wish.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Made me feeling old, you know, feeling not too bad.
You did get a lot of birthday love on Instagram.
I did. And I, you know, it takes place, it sets in quickly, the age. Because, we were in New York this weekend at a theater. And I was, we were in there watching, you know, Hamilton. It was a great time and everything. And then I'm looking around, and there's these guys in there with sweatpants on. And I had an old man moment where I'm just like staring. I'm like getting mad, not looking at the play.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing in here?
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here. He's like an adult.
Dress up. Put some clothes on.
I mean, go to a cocktail. Dress like you're going to a cocktail hour. You don't have to put on a three-piece suit with a cummerbund.
Right.
I'm only 37. But it's happening already.
And that's what's happening on Golf DMV. We'll be back on the other side of the top of the hour news if you're listening on radio. If you're not listening on radio, you're going to hear an ad, but we'll be back with more.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
Welcome back to Golf DMV. This is the first time that we're doing the second segment of the show because I actually remembered to hit record on this one. I need the holiday, folks. It's Thanksgiving week. Going to get a break from the action later on this week. Do you guys like get into some of the like Christmas stuff that happens like right around the holiday? Cause, like and by that I mean like Christmas town at like Busch Gardens, and then they've got like the Nats Park is turned into this whole big thing.
Yeah, the Nats Park thing. So the short answer is no. Historically, single or like you know, married or single brown with no kids.
Right.
No, I just do what I want. I have a good time. Now that I have children, I have to go to this Nats thing.
Right.
Keys is always planning the activities and stuff. Yeah, but family activities though, I do look forward to this time of year because I like to have the you know the potlucks and go over to people's houses and
anybody and hosting at their house.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You host some Thanksgiving at Josh and me?
Yeah, I am.
Man. Oh, okay. Cool. Yep. Is that the first year you're doing it?
Second. This is the second. Yeah.
Okay. We're hosting something here for our family, but there are friends who are coming over as well, and it seems like there'll be more family here than, friends than family.
Yeah, right, because, right.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, when you make plans and everybody signs up for what they're going to do, it seems like for some reason, 3 or 4 days before, people just cancel.
People start dropping out, huh?
For no reason at all, yeah. So, but that's personal family stuff. I don't want to take it out on the podcast.
No. Yeah. But anyway. You were supposed to make the mac and cheese, LB.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
And so, out.
You know, just don't text me about Christmas. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
But are you hosting it? No, we're hosting my in-laws, I believe, and I think the kids are trying to come over, but my wife is like, no.
Playing defense.
Yeah, because she's at the point where, you know, they're older. They can cook.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't come over here without nothing.
Right. Not, yeah. Well, actually, I believe it should be the other way around. I think we're at the age now that they should be hosting and we should be coming to their
house. And so when you ask, this is what's happening with my family, where myself, my sister, she's 9 years younger. She's got a couple years.
Okay.
Well, my cousin, who's like 2 years older than me, we started to take on some hosting duties.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it should be. You should not be coming into my house with putting your feet up on my furniture. I should be putting my feet up on your furniture while you refresh my drink. Right. That's the way it's supposed to work.
I mean,
but you know, we don't. Our kids don't seem to get that message yet, so they're gonna do whatever they do, but they're not coming to my house.
That was gonna be Thanksgiving.
Looks like y'all eating at Boston Market.
Right. Actually, I did hear mention of a new silver diner in Largo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and somebody had mentioned that they might be trying it out on Thanksgiving. I'm like, that is
the silver diner in Largo,
silver
Maryland.
Diner.
Wow.
Apparently, there's a new one out that way.
You know, the Copper Canyon in Silver Spring is open on Thanksgiving.
A lot of places. Now we have, as a family, we did a Chinese dinner one Thanksgiving. We tried it with the whole. It was like eight, maybe 10 of us.
How'd that go?
It was boring as hell.
Yeah,
you know, but it was. I mean, the food was fine because Chinese food. I mean, you really can't go wrong with it. But but as you know, as far as the actual holiday and stuff, I didn't like it because once it was over. Everybody scattered and went to their own house. We didn't like go back to one person's house and hang out. And,
yeah, there was no fellowship. We're not playing dominoes.
Exactly. None of that stuff.
Wait, where did dominoes come from?
It just was random, wasn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I brought dominoes to the family. When I went, dominoes isn't really an East Coast thing. For those who don't know, it's really spades and Tonkin.
Yeah.
When I joined the Air Force, I met some West Coast and South guys, and they told me to throw them bones. But going back to the house, fellowshipping with
watching football. Now to me, and I'm off the holiday. I've been off the holiday train for a while.
Okay,
but the reason I have is because the fellowship part of it has seemed to have gone away. At least on my in my part of the family,
right,
that part has gone away from it.
That's the best part.
Exactly.
Best
part. If we're not going to sit around and hang out and watch the games or do whatever and fellowship and have a good time, then what are we talking about here?
Right.
And we just going to come and eat, and you going to take some food out of my house and go home.
Yeah, what we talking about is, that's what we're talking about. What's Uncle LB cooking?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hey, grill? What's up,
Bob? Yeah, you cooking? You cooking the grill?
When I say take a plate to go, it's sort of like, hey, we just want to get rid of the food. You see somebody with seven plates stacking up. I was like, you feeding your family.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, you don't take that much. You didn't be here for a while, man. Right. Relax and let's talk.
Exactly. And don't come empty handed.
Right.
So long and short of it, it's going to be quiet in my house. I might work on my deck if the day is nice. I'm replacing the boards on my deck. So I might be doing that on the afternoon.
Just hanging out.
Yep.
Man, I wonder if anybody's playing golf on Thanksgiving. There's plenty of deals.
I did get an email from Only Golf Park, which I did go to the other day too. But they're going to be open Thanksgiving Day, from like I think 10 to 2 or something like that.
Oh.
It was like, hey, you can sneak out, come hit a bucket of balls before anything gets jumped off at the house. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Now, just back to the golf. I went there the other day. I think it was Friday. It was Friday. Only Golf Park.
Okay. Yeah.
I have determined that I hate mats. If I didn't like them before, I hate them now.
Why is this?
Because they just like hitting off. I may be hitting off a concrete slab.
Okay.
I mean, they were just so firm.
So very hard, yeah.
You know, I've torn ligaments in one wrist and I broke the other wrist. So my wrist is a little bit fragile is an understatement.
Right.
You know, and for me to be hitting off that kind of environment, it's just no good.
They disguise fat shots too, even in optimal. Even when you're dealing with good mats, they disguise the fat shot and give you false confidence.
Right.
You get out there on the course, take that first chunk. Now you're taking L's the rest of the day.
Exactly. Man, it was like target practice.
Yeah,
at the range.
Exactly. So I'm with you. I don't like them either.
So what I've determined, when I do go, I'm going to use, this will be woods. Something I can hit off the little tees.
Right,
you know what I mean? That way you kind of, you know.
It's more closely simulating.
Would you think about maybe purchasing your own mat?
And take you know what I mean? And looking around with me.
No, it's not like the size of like this table top, but like a small strip.
Just to
hit off a small strip. That's like $10, $15, and just lay it down when you go out there.
That's not a bad idea because what they have right there is inferior.
Yeah.
Or they just old and beat the hell But I did get.
You gotta talk to Brendan about that.
Brendan does lessons. He's not involved in the actual operation of the facility that I know of. I could be wrong. But I did.
Brendan's in the office right now. Like, just leave the mat. They'll be okay.
Yeah. They'll be fine. Say they'll be fine.
Say that money.
But I did get a heater to work. I did find a heater
that one that was working.
Yeah, I did get one that was working. Clutch. It didn't help much because it was so damn windy.
Oh yeah.
So when did you go? Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Friday. Yeah, it was windy. It was windy Friday. But it wasn't. You know, I had time to kill, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to just sit here in the house, so I went and hit a bucket of balls. But yeah. So yeah. Back to my point is, I hate mats.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good news is that man, Blue Mash is closer to you than Olney. So yeah. You know, if you ever.
Well, right. But it was right. That day was a little. It was
too windy.
I wanted something to block the wind.
Some heat.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. There's no heaters.
Just on the stall.
Exactly.
I got you.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep,
so. Well, there we go.
There we go.
Let's talk a little bit about these 2020 goals, LB. And this started because you saw something online. And now is really the time to start planning and forecasting the next year, at least trying to get in the groove anyway.
Yeah, so I saw this on our Instagram
page. From a guy who hasn't picked up a club since the last time I played.
Me neither.
If you want to call played what I did at 1757. Which is better than Worthington. Was it Worthington we went to?
Yeah, Worthington. Goodness.
Yeah, it was all bad. Are we ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I won't cut you off.
No.
So this shout out to the Boss Golfs on Instagram. Rodney forwarded this to me, or to us, I should say, the other day, and they talked about he was going through his 2019 goals and looking at how he finished up on his 2019 goals, and it got me to think about, you know, what our goals or what my goals will be for 2020. He has an expansive list. He's probably got, I don't know, 12 to 15. You can look him up on Instagram and see for yourself. I'm not going to have that many goals for my 2020 golf season, but I am beginning to think about some of the things that will be my goals. And I was thinking that maybe you as our listeners might want to do the same and maybe email us what your goals are going to be for 2020 for your golf game. One of mine, I'll give you this one that I think I've, and we've talked about this before, so this is rehashing some old stuff, but I'm actually going to try and put it into practice this year.
Okay.
Once a month, I'm going to take a lesson, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour.
Okay.
Once a month, I'm going to take a lesson.
Huh.
Because one of the reasons this is sticking it with me is, you know, you look at the pros who are, I mean, they lights out, they can beat the brakes off of us anytime. They're making millions of dollars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they have a full-time coach.
Yeah.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we out here hacking around every so often we get a chance. We never take lessons, and then we wonder why our game sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we talked about this, I know I mentioned this at least one time before, I think we all talked about it, like after our Vegas trip and those lessons we took.
Right.
How once you took the lesson that first week, everything was tight. You knew, you remembered everything. Mm-hmm. You knew what you was working on.
Right.
And 3 weeks later, you back to, you lost all that momentum you made because that lesson the stick-to-itiveness of that lesson is now
you're
gone.
You're no longer committed to the technique.
Exactly.
Yeah, you
and
you've
regress
got it,
back
and you
to
start
your
to
old
progress.
Stuff.
Yeah, I got
so
you.
So if the stuff that Brendan taught me, I guess it's been 2 months now ago, right. I'm still working on that stuff, but I need to keep it reinforced. I need to keep that stuff reinforced and keep pushing the envelope on that. You know, okay, it's like anything. You're learning. You know, you've learned the first 3-4 steps. You get those down, and then they teach you the next 5 or 6 steps.
Right.
You know, you keep building upon that stuff. So if we don't get past those, if we don't get those first 4 or 5 steps down solid,
okay,
we'll never be able to build on that because we keep staying in a bad circle.
You're just like Paul Wilson. That's right. Exactly what he said. Like, right. If you can't get these things down, or these are so important, you're hearing this, you're hearing that. Like, mm-hmm. No, focus on
these.
You
right. Can just focus. Fundamentals.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be for me for 2020 is at least
lesson
once a
month.
If even if it's just a 30-minute lesson, just a crash course. Okay, I did what we were supposed to do last month. I worked on that all month, and then check me. Am I still on point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have this thing locked in. Let's go to this.
Then now I can show you the next two steps.
Okay,
come back next month. We'll work on it. We'll add another step.
Right,
something like this. Some kind of a plan to get me to be a better golfer because I'm tired of sucking.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Tired of playing poor golf. Yes.
Right.
So,
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for the save.
That's all right. Phrasing. So, Claude.
So it's funny because when LB talked about, you just mentioned this, the first thing that came to my mind was, I don't even remember what my 2019 goals were. I think one of them was to play more golf.
Right.
And yeah, I think we all had like a general goal of play different courses. Mm-hmm. And I think, so I played more golf.
You accomplished that.
And I definitely played different courses.
Yeah.
Yes.
But from a get back, I don't remember if, I don't know if at the end of 2018 that I was in the mind frame that I could actually get better. You know what I mean? And so I don't know whether I was like, just play and have fun. Right. You know what I mean? Just get out, stop putting so much pressure on yourself. I don't remember because I go through so many hills and valleys that I don't know what mindset I was when I finished the year.
Yeah, and so that goes to LB's point about building blocks. So you can technically say you achieved your goals for 2019, you played more golf, and you played a bunch of different courses.
Right.
So now that has to be the baseline, and going forward in 2020, you can focus on maybe the getting better part.
And so I feel like I got better, but I'm not sure if to end the season I'm playing any better than I was playing at the end of 2018. Like I feel like there was a moment was where I was playing really, really well, and it was like, and by really, really well, I don't mean like breaking 80 for me.
But 80,
right? It was an improvement.
Yeah, you know, it was just an improvement. I'm like, okay, I'm playing. I'm playing some golf now. I'm getting better. I can feel it. I'm not there right now. Right. Like, this is not May and June Claude that's playing right now. This is like literally Claude from 2014. Like, this is the one who's playing with clubs from the thrift store. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's... This is the Claude who's left-handed.
Thrift store Claude.
Exactly. Thrift store Claude. That's who's playing right now. Like, the guy who is swinging with right-handed clubs, even though he's left-handed, because he couldn't find any left-handed clubs in the thrift store. So, but the point is, I don't know. I think what I need to do before I set these goals is figure out, like, what
you,
I want to
where you want to go.
You want the goals to be realistic.
Yeah, it's got because I'll sit there and do 10 goals. Like, I mean, you know, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to practice every day. I'm going to make sure I'm putting every.
Nope. And walk past it every day.
And as I'm saying it, I know I'm not going to do it. I'm saying it, it's like, you know, you're not going to do this. Why you said it? So I got to figure out what's a realistic goal. And so I think LB's onto something though. I do think that lessons has to be a part of it, like a monthly kind of catch up with
some kind of routine. It's not just, you know, when my game goes really, really off the rails, you know, I'm so depressed now that I got to go get therapy and go get a lesson. You know what I mean?
Really, the lesson is just for the instructor to tell you, hey, you don't totally suck. That's a confidence.
You've
got
good elements. I also think that, you know, even when it comes to that. So now I went back and forth 1 year saying, okay, I want to practice more. I want to spend more time practicing so that the rounds that I do play count. You know what I mean? Like, or I just had to know what's going on out there. And then last year I was on this, okay, yeah, you know, practice, but man, play more. The more you play, you'll get better. So now I think I'm back onto this. I need to practice more. You know what I mean? And spend more time practicing.
And practice right.
Yeah. And practice right. You know what I mean?
That's the key. Right.
And to be honest with you, you know what? Here's a goal I think for 2020 for me, a realistic one. I want to add the lessons. I want to try to show up 45 minutes ahead of time.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I want to stop running late.
Right, coming in
I want to stop coming in hot. I want to get in. I literally want to stretch.
Right.
And I want to hit some golf balls. I want to chip and I want to putt. You know what I mean? I want to hit for 40 minutes. Ahead of time.
Yes.
And not just, you know, swing at balls, but like literally, you know, and
like the whole game.
Maybe. Right. Mm-hmm. And I want my range sessions to mean more. I want to do more like target practice. I don't just hit, like, I just line up and say, I'm hit the ball straight and just do different distances. Like, no, I want to hit at specific targets.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm done with hitting 140 balls. I 60 balls, make it count, and then leave.
Yeah, it's actually valuable because I worked that into my game this year without even making it a goal. I started getting to the range. I slowly got back on track, getting on time. I had a couple hot ones or whatever. But for the most part, I would try to get there an hour early.
Right.
So I had plenty of time to do the entire full suite, especially when we came home from the Paul Lesson stuff. I mean, Paul Wilson stuff. And it made a huge, the target thing, that makes a huge difference. Right. I would say even just being at the range and saying, cool, I'm going to take a club and just like knock down 100-yard shots over and over and over again. Because again, if it's a game of misses and you're on the range and you can like consistently hit 100, then this means maybe you can consistently hit 80, 75. You're going to be in the building as opposed to pulling or slicing.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a pretty solid goal.
Right. Yeah. What about you?
For me, man, impact and compression. That's it. Like a maniac, I've been chasing this for the past 10 years. I'm going to see this dude, Ryan Chain. Chaney. Shout out to Ryan Chaney. I haven't done anything.
But, over at Blue Mass,
over at Blue Mass, yes. Because I follow him on Instagram and I follow some of the stuff he's done on YouTube. I have to get the number one goal is the same as it's always been. It's just to get the proper impact position. Because I feel like once I do that, it'll open up a whole section of the game. As for the other goals, pretty much the same stuff. Like play more, practice more, more target golf. Just continue what I've been doing. But like you said, LB, the foundation is impact.
Yeah.
If I can't get that right, then everything else I'm doing is garbage.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, and actually, I will say this. Hey, well, let me take that back. So that, but I'm also going to try to add like 5 to 10 mile an hour swing speed so I can increase my distance. Yeah, it's just what it is. Off the tee box.
Will you start putting with two hands to drop at least 3 strokes from your game?
You can tell coach, no. No. The one-handed killer still going to be out here.
There you go.
We want to know what your golf goals for the next year is. GolfDMVpodcast@gmail.com. Speaking of emails, got an email almost a month ago from Matthew Kugel, Walking MD Golf on Instagram. And he said he's been listening to the podcast. And I said, great as usual. Thank you. We shoot to achieve greatness here. And he just had a couple of points. Number one, for our listener's choice, he said D is for Delaware, not district.
There we go.
He said he loves Deerfield. It's just over the Maryland line. It's a short course, but has a lot of angled fairways and shots. Some truly strategic golf with tons of elevation change. He said some other stuff like that, too. And I'll make sure that maybe we'll post his stuff on Facebook, and maybe our IG, what he sent to us. In Maryland, his choice would be Blue Mash.
Yeah,
he said,
you guys
love this course, and it's one of the best deals in Maryland for value and price paid, conditions of the course, practice facilities, all the stuff we talk about when it comes to Blue Mash. In Virginia, he had mentioned Bull Run. He said, based on playing there in the spring, he really enjoyed the layout and the random twosome pairing that he had that day. So he enjoyed the company as well. Conditions great. He said the young lady on the cart came by frequently, and that was awesome. Have you guys played Bull Run yet?
I don't think so.
I know it was on my list at one point, but it was out 66, I believe, out that way.
Yeah.
I don't think I have.
No. So. It's been recommended to me. That's why I've heard it.
Yeah.
And in the Baltimore area, we got to let Glenn know about this. Greystone. He's not one of those Baltimore County courses.
Oh, really?
I mean, Baltimore City courses. Yeah. He said Greystone.
Really? It's not in the city. It's in the county.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we got to let Glenn know. So he's not one of those city courses.
Yeah.
Actually, it might not even be in Baltimore County. It might be Hartford.
Hartford.
Greystone, it's up, huh? Yeah. I used to work in Baltimore. This is, we talking like 2000.
Oh, wow.
This is a long time ago.
Okay.
Back in the olden days. And this is early in my golf career, and they had a tournament out there.
Okay.
And my employer sent me and a couple other people who play golf in the office out there. We stunk up the joint because none of us was any good. I've been playing golf like 3 years, so I was terrible.
What do you remember about the course?
It was beautiful.
Okay.
It was a high end course.
Right.
And I remember the governor came for this tournament in a suit and tie.
Really?
And did the opening tee shot.
Oh no! In the suit and tie.
And smashed it.
Really?
Smashed it.
Oh, this is O'Malley. This must have been O'Malley.
Not Ehrlich. Ehrlich.
Oh, wow. It was right before him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he smashed it, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
And his hard bottoms.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. There you go.
Embarrassing what it was.
Yeah.
He said it's the pinnacle of Baltimore municipal courses, and so he loves that one. Mm-hmm. He has some tips for you about the Villages.
I was reading this. Because he says his uncle lives there. And he says, I really hope that the guy LB was playing with wasn't his Uncle Butch. This is the guy who has a real short fuse. So I don't think his name was Butch. So I think we might be safe on that point. But he says, I don't know I do not know when the Villages alum come back to normal courses that they struggle. He was saying that because the roughs in the Villages aren't very rough.
Oh, okay.
So when you leave the Villages and come back out into the real world, you might struggle in the rough. And I got to thinking about that, and I think he's accurate on that.
Okay.
Because I don't remember any of the rough being more than, an inch. I mean, it's very manicured everywhere.
Okay.
So he has a point there, I think, with the rough not being rough.
Not like Maryland Fall Rough, where they let it grow out.
Not at all. Oh, I mean, like I said, they can putt out of the sand traps.
Yeah, out of the sand trap. Yeah, you're not doing that.
So, yeah, we're not doing that everywhere. But, okay, continue on.
Okay, and also for his winter and fall plans, he said he spent all his money in the spring, so no golf trips planned. Now, check this out. He said last fall he went to Vegas, Houston, Arizona, West Virginia, Portland, Oregon, Ocean City through the summer. Oh, okay. And so there you go. But he said he's going to keep playing through the winter here to try to get his game sharp and chip and putt in the basement. And he kudos to ULB. He said it's great work on the stats. He said, I love that you're always coming back at the guys with data and research. Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah. I don't need facts.
Yeah, I'll just tell you what I'm. So thank you, Matthew. And yeah, anyone else want to send in their listener choice? We're going to do this. We're going to get these plaques. We're going to send them some golf courses around the area. Let them know that they get a Golf DMV award, but then also listener choice awards as well. And so, but we're going to kind of do it on the basis of what we may agree with and what we have experience with and then what multiple listeners emailed in about. So golfdmv podcast at gmail.com. Brooks Koepka injured.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a theory about this, but I want LB to go ahead. LB, you got the official news. You got the facts.
No, I don't have any.
Yeah, since you have all the latest stats, according to Matthew.
You come at us.
Well, honestly, I didn't, on that particular show topic, I have no stats.
Okay.
All I remember, I mean, stuff that we all know that he got injured over in China.
Yes.
In China.
Yeah.
China. That's funny. He probably slipped on concrete or something. He slipped on, he was walking between holes or something. And,
okay.
And quote unquote, I put an air quote slipped.
Yeah.
So then he bowed out. He called Tiger. He did actually call Tiger this time.
Yeah.
To let him know that
somebody called that dude.
Who's that dude in charge? Yeah. Tell him I ain't playing.
Yeah.
So then Tiger picked Ricky Fowler to take his spot on the President's Cup.
Oh,
so
man.
A couple of things about that. One, Brooks being injured. And he was doing like some stem cell stuff apparently to try and get better. Yeah. So I don't know where all that is. I hope that this
weird,
isn't
right.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you got NBA players doing the chambers and all that kind of
transfusion
stuff.
Transfusion weird stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody's everybody's trying to get the advantage and heal up fast. I mean, makes sense. Yeah, I mean, we all do things to try and keep ourselves ready to play golf. So, I mean,
yeah, and that's your profession. So,
right. So I have no problem with him trying different things. Whatever works for you,
now,
works.
Check this out. Take a pause. Now, if you're listening on the radio, you'll have to go to golfdmvpodcast.com and listen to the podcast to get the rest of this. We're running out of radio time, and so we'll catch up with you guys next week. Again, if you're listening on the radio, just go to the podcast website, golfdmvpodcast.com, and you can listen to the rest of the show right there. All right, podcast listeners.
Okay.
You get all the bonus stuff.
See that? Yeah. See? There's a advantage to this, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I don't know I don't even know what his injury is. All I know was something about his knee that didn't heal up correctly.
Yeah. So yeah. I think basically what happened was he was like, President's Cup, not a major.
Right, yeah. Oh, so you think he's just blowing it off?
Team thing. I'm all about my own accolades.
My knee, Tiger. I don't feel like I can't play. Yeah, yeah, he's sitting at home playing PlayStation. ain't thinking about that. I think he like, oh, I don't know. It could be a combination of both. Where like, let's put it this way. I think if it were Masters right now, whatever his thing is, he'd be going.
Right, because he entered this last season and he played three or four tournaments with it injured.
Yeah, so he just did an analysis and say, what President's Cup? I don't give a let Ricky go. I want Ricky to have a win.
Let little Ricky get it.
Yeah, I know that. I feel so bad for Ricky.
Well, Ricky Fowler got married 2 months ago, something like that, then he had to pull out of some tournament because he got sick on the honeymoon.
Oh wow, man.
Did he?
He caught some virus or something.
Must have been on a cruise.
Man, well, hopefully he does well in the President's Cup.
Yeah, and even Ricky now. So Ricky hasn't played competitive in a little while either. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because he, I don't think since the FedEx Cup, I don't think
he's been out.
He ain't played nothing since then.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So people are saying too now, I mean, while, you know, Ricky is Ricky, but, you know, he's coming in cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's
got to be some guys you can pull on.
Right. So I don't know how that's going to all play out either. Is the sand go? I guess we'll see. And when is that? Like 2 weeks now, right? The middle, I think it's the middle of December.
Yeah.
When the President's Cup is.
Let's see what the Google machine is.
Yeah, I'm looking on my phone here.
While they look up the facts and data, I just want to let you guys know.
Yeah.
Today's show brought to you by
Monday. The President Cup begins on Monday, December 9th.
Okay.
And ends on Sunday, December 15th.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
That can't be.
That's too long.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder if there's a difference as far as when they start. Like, you know, because they'll say it starts on the 5th, but play doesn't start until a certain day, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's. Yeah, because that's. Yeah, the 9th is a Monday.
Yeah, so probably that's the week that it starts.
Right.
Thursday, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's only like three or couple days. I mean, like a regular tournament, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's like
three or 4 days. Three or four days. Yeah, 4 days, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Does anybody know who's on the President's Cup team?
Yeah, kind of.
Not us.
Oh, yeah. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, Tiger, Bryson DeChambeau.
Patrick Reed.
Bryson DeChambeau? He's happy that Brooks is on the same team as Brooks. Gary Woodland, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed, who no one wants to play with.
Yeah, put John Rahm on there. Wait, he's from Spain.
Right, he's on the other one.
He's from Spain. He's from Spain?
Yeah, he's Spain.
Yeah,
I know what it is. He's on the other team.
Yeah.
He's not on the international team.
Really?
Isn't the President's Cup Australia and Asia? And then the Ryder Cup is Europe?
Yeah. Okay.
So Australia and Asia need the their own thing. They go against the U.S., so they got their own thing. And that's why Brooks was like, I'm cool on this whack second place tournament. I'll holler, Tiger.
It's not a major. I'm paying attention. All right, so it's Golf DMV, folks. I think we covered everything, guys, for the most part. There's this great story about a guy trying to it was a European tour, and there was someone who made some noise, but the guy ended up having special needs, so he kind of embraced it, but it cost him a lot. We'll talk about that on an upcoming event, upcoming show.
Else? Is there nothing on the list? I feel like there's something missing.
No, man. We did well. Okay. We did Matthew Cool. Yeah, we did everything, man.
Okay,
I think
cool.
We did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I did reach out to Bree, and she thanked us for our nice read on her IG page.
Yes. Yes, tell her congrats. Yeah, I follow her on Instagram now.
Yes, yes.
You should too.
There we go. And there we go. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yes, thanks for listening to Golf DMV. Next weekend, follow us on social media. It's possible that we may not do a show because of the holiday weekend.
Right.
And so,
really, I live for this.
For the show?
Yeah.
Well, then we'll do one. Day. We'll do it. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.